going to learn Daf Nun Dalet in Masechtas Nedarim. It's the beginning of the seventh parak, Hanoidim and Ayerek. The Mishnah, obviously, right at the beginning, right at the top of the Yomid. Here we go. Hanoidim and Ayerek. So this actually is a continuation somewhat in what we've been discussing till now, which is when a person makes an Eder and he uses specific wording, what's included in that wording and what's not included in that wording. So, again, obviously it's a little bit of a different topic, but it's the same idea. So the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah starts and says, Hanoidim min ayerek. Somebody who makes a neder, in this case means I'm not going to do something, usually that's what it means, that he's not going to eat yerek, and I'm going to translate this loosely as vegetable for the moment. So, it says, Mutter bidiluin. It would not include it in vegetables is diluin. And we'll see why in the Gemara, the Ran will have two pshatim. Why is it diluin? Now, diluin is generally translated as a gourd. It might mean something, a little bit different than that, but that's what we're going to translate it. If you want to just pick an example, just so that we can discuss it, let's call it a squash. Or something like that. I don't know if that's the perfect example. A yellow squash. A squash. Let's use that as an example for the time being. So when a person says vegetable, he says the word yerek. He does not include diluin. That's the Tanakh Hamashiach. Rabbi Akiva says no. He does mean to include diluin. He does mean to include those extra kind of vegetables that are peripheral on the side. They're not your classic vegetables. So, what would be the basis for this? Amr loy le Rabbi Akiva. So the Chachamim said to the Rabbi Akiva, "V'haloy oimer odom l'shluchai." A person would tell his messenger, "Kach li yerek, go to the store and buy me a vegetable." V'hu oimer, and the shliach will respond, "Loy matzasi ela diluin. I went to the store and I couldn't find your classic tomatoes, lettuce, whatever it is. So I went ahead and I bought you a diluin. I bought you this squash instead." So therefore, so the Chachamim see, by the fact that he has to come back and ask, is a raya that was not what was initially included. So we see that when a person says diluin, that's not what he meant. Amar lahem, Rabbi Akiva says, no, kein adavar, that is exactly the point. That's exactly my proof that it is included. Oishema amar hu loy. So maybe he'll say, the Bach adds in the word loy with a vav, means maybe he'll say to him. And then the Lamed Aleph, which we have in our Gemara, continues, Loi motzasi ela kidneys. A person, will he come back to the messenger, to the master of the house and say, oh, I found beans. I found lentils. So obviously he wouldn't even bother coming back. If I'm going to the store to buy tomatoes and those type of vegetables, I'm not going to come back and say I found beans. That's a completely different category. Elo shahadaluin bichlal yerek. The difference is that the reason why he's asking and saying, well, if I didn't find your classic, I found your diluin, that's because it is a part of the vegetable. The kidneys and a bichlal yerek, and kidneys are not included. Meaning it's a very simple logic. The fact that I'm asking about it is a proof that it is in the same category. It's proof that it's close enough. You're right, it's not necessarily your classic and maybe not the first thing that comes to your mind, but it is something that would be in that category. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking. The same reason why you don't come back from the store and say, oh, I found pencils and I found a bicycle. Those are, you know, that's not even in the category. That's not even what we're discussing. So the fact that you're coming back and asking about the loom is right. It's somewhat related and it should be included in the, so we have a very basic machloikis over here. According to the Chachamim, and the Mishnah says this very clearly, according to the Chachamim, it's because of the fact that he's asking is right that it's not initially what I would include. And Rabbi Akiva takes the opposite approach and says, but the fact that I'm asking is a raya that it's close enough, that it is some, not necessarily in your classic inclusion, but it is included overall, so therefore it would be included in the neder. Obviously, both of them are going with the concept that by nederim we go, achal loshem b'nei adam, what did the person mean? So did you mean everything, or did you mean only things on the side? And we'll get further into this as we jump into the Gemara in one moment. One more line in the Mishnah, though. Then the Mishnah continues and concludes and says, "V'asur b'pul ha-mitzri lach u'mutter b'yavish." But a person, when he says the word yerek, would include a pulam. A pul is a type of bean, but only while it is moist. While it is moist, it is theoretically, categorically in the same concept as a vegetable, because you would eat it, and I'm going to throw in a word here, you would eat it raw. You would eat it as is. However, but you would not eat it once it is dried out. Because once it's dried out, as the Mefarish, the Rashi explains, that it becomes like a grain, and you're going to just take it and you're going to grind it up. So you're not going to eat it really in its natural state. So that's not considered a vegetable the way we classically think about a vegetable. One very simple question that is asked, the Ritva, I think, asks, well, if it's already usur when it's moist, so why would it become mutter once it dries out? So the Ritva says, okay, so don't misunderstand the Mishnah. What it means to say is, if I make an eder and I have two piles in front of me, I have a moist pulamitri and I have a pile of already dried out ones, my neder only includes the moist ones. But obviously, once it was moist, once it was usur, it doesn't become mutter over the processing over time. Okay, that's what the Ritva points out, just a side point over here, interesting. But the point, now, the Chiddush is, as the Ran points out, that we see that there are things that are maybe not your first, don't necessarily come to mind, and we even include the Pula Mitri, because it's similar enough to a Deluin, but at the same time, even though we are including the Pula Mitri, the Chiddush that the Rabbanan are saying, it does not include Deluin. Because Deluin are too far removed from, they're not really, even in any stage, they're not included in what you would classically call a diluin. Which, again, I say that with some reservation, because we'll see now the Gemara is going to ask, why is something included or why is it not included? Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara right away quotes right away from the Mishnah, Hanoidim and Ayarik, and it's obviously referring to the Machlekes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva about this idea that if the shliach would include it in his shopping list or not, that's what would make it, and that's the basis of the machlokes. However, the Gemara wants to be much more technical. The Gemara asks, v'hamin yerek nadar. At the end of the day, regardless of whether the shliach does ask or doesn't ask, his words were that I'm making a neder from vegetables, from yerek. And the Gemara seems, the way the Ran learns, this is a kasha specifically on Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, we have a much more diverse and much more expansive translation of the word yerek. But lemaisa, it's not what people think about when they say the word yerek. So why would I even have a havamina? Why would I think that it does include these gourds, these diluin, that it's not really something that an average person means? And the Gemara says, you're right, to the point that the Gemara switches the case of our Mishnah. Amar Ula, so Ula says, Ba'omer Yarke Kedera Alai. So I'm going to read through the Gemara quickly, and then we'll go through the two pshatim in the Ran over here, where the Gemara says, you're right, we don't just mean general vegetables, we mean Yarke Kedera, means the vegetables that I would put into a pot. Those are the type of vegetables that I mean. So now it's a little bit more inclusive. And the Gemara in the Habamina thinks that just the mere fact that I threw in the word kedera as an extra word should be enough to include diluim as well, or possibly diluim as well. To which the Gemara says, V'dilma yarek ha'ne'echal b'kedera kama. Maybe, just because I threw in an extra word, it doesn't necessarily mean every single type of vegetable that is out there that it's possible. Maybe it only means, and now I'm going with the first pshat in the Ran, maybe it only means those type of vegetables that I would use to enhance the other things that are cooking in a pot. Yes, I would put it into a pot, but I'm using those type of things that I would normally throw, like an onion. An onion is something where you don't cook it just for the sake of the onion. You throw in the onion to enhance the flavor of something else. So that's what the kedera is referring to. But it's not referring to a type of vegetable that in and of itself needs the cooking in order for it to become something that would be eaten. It means specifically the type of vegetable that would be part of to enhance other vegetables. And an onion is an easy example, or garlic, or something like that. Garlic is also it's technically a vegetable, but you don't eat the garlic by itself. I know, obviously, there are always exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, you don't eat garlic by itself, but it's used as an enhancer for something else. And maybe that's what he means when he uses the extra word of kedera. So the Gemara answers, you're right. So the case is, Ba'omer yerek hamis basho b'kedera alai. Where he says, now he adds in the extra words, hamis bashel, that get cooked in a kedera. Now, why am I adding the fact that it gets cooked? Because now I'm talking about anything and everything, any type of vegetable that can be cooked. So this is the way, this is sort of close to the way the Ran learns in his first pshat. That the issue over here was, why would I include those random things that I wouldn't really eat in its natural state, that, because I wouldn't eat it I wouldn't eat it as is. When I pick it out of the ground, I wouldn't eat it as is. I would first have to cook it. So the Gemara says, you're right, we use the word kedera. But the word kedera itself is not alone, because that would only include those type of vegetables that are sometimes cooked with the, that could theoretically be eaten raw, if I had to, if I wanted to, but it also gets cooked sometimes. And then finally, the Gemara's answer is no. The reason why we're having a machlekas over here by Dilum is because I'm talking about those vegetables that are always cooked. And even then, okay, so that's the shock of the tire of the Gemara. But you have to now put this back into the words of the Mishnah. Let's not forget what we're trying to do over here. The Gemara is trying to explain the Mishnah. And the Mishnah had a machlekas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And the Chachamim, even in that case, will say that it's still not including Diluin. Okay, so you understand, you have to, people, when you learn this Gemara, sometimes you forget about what's going on, the big picture over here. Let's not forget what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah at the end of the day does have a machlekes, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim, the Tanakama. The Tanakama Shita doesn't change. Tanakama Shita is that Diluin are not included whatsoever, because when a person says Diluin, he just doesn't mean, excuse me, when a person says Yerek, he just doesn't mean Diluin. That's not what he's referring to. It's not what he means. So what's going on with Rabbi Akiva? Why would Rabbi Akiva say that that is what I'm referring to if there's no way somebody would eat it? That's where the Gemara, the Shakla Vitaira, the Gemara that we just read, is coming to say that Rabbi Akiva's logic is, yes, it's enough, it's something that I would include as long as I also throw in a Nisbashal B'Kedera, because then it's something that is not just including the limited type of raw vegetables or the green vegetables that I would eat. It means even those things, or what we would call the part of the vegetable that I would eat itself, it means even those things that would need to be cooked thoroughly through and through, that also those things are included, because I would get that, a shliach would include that, if I needed a vegetable, he would include that. That is the first way that the Ran learns the Gemara. The second way the Ran learns the Gemara is basically the same idea, but the difference is, The first way it focuses on the pre, with something that I might cook or not cook, and the second way of the Gemara is, that was really more like the second. I actually explained the Gemara more like the second way the Ran explains that. It had to do with the fact that it is. I really mixed the two pshatim together. The first pshat in the Ran focuses on whether the pre itself, whether it is the vegetable, it's the vegetable itself that I'm going for, or is it the way I originally explained. The first way the Ran learns, is it the vegetable itself that I'm going for, or is it a vegetable that's used to enhance something else? Okay, and that's the shakli v'tayra. That's what is included in the pot or is not included in the pot. The second pshat in the Ran was, again, I kind of merged the two pshatim in the Ran together. The second pshat in the Ran is focused on whether I would eat it raw versus whether it needs to be cooked. So the shakli v'tayra of the Gemara is, if it needs to be cooked, does it always need to be cooked? Or does it sometimes need to be cooked? In the Havamina of the Gemara was saying maybe it only includes those things that sometimes need to be cooked, which, once again, would not include something like a diluin, which is not edible unless it is cooked. And therefore it's still not included, to which the Gemara says, okay, fine, if I say Mispashal B'Kedera, it includes even those things that have to be cooked. That is also considered a vegetable, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, that's also what I mean. Again, just to clarify, because I merged the two pshatim and the Ran together. The first pshat of the Ran is focused on on the main part of the vegetable versus the side part, the side things. And the second pshat in the Ran is talking about those vegetables that need to be cooked versus those vegetables that can be eaten raw and not be cooked. Okay, but again, regardless of which pshat in the Ran you learn, for purposes of the Gemara, I don't want to lose the main point of the Gemara. Even with, after all of this, it's just a question of what I had to say to potentially also include, to be more expansive in what Yerek means. And at the end of the day, now that we are more expansive, the question is, did I mean that? When a person says Yerek, or when I say Mispashal B'Kedera, did I mean that or not? Something that's really off the charts. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it might be off the charts, my average chart, but since I would ask about it, that's still included. And according to the Tanakhama, it's so off the chart that even if I would ask about it, it's still at the end of the day not what I would think about when I personally am making a neder, even if I use the words Yerek and Mispashal B'Kedera. Okay, that's the bottom line, the machlokes between the Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. As the Gemara itself says, which is interesting, actually one of the Mefarshim say that the reason why the Gemara has to go back and say, B'maikamifrdi, we already know what Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim argue about. It's in the Mishnah what they argue about. But the point that the Gemara is saying is, B'maikamifrdi is that even that after we add this explanation in the Gemara, you might get confused and say, maybe there's a different shot. And maybe Rabbi Akiva means something different than what he means in the Mishnah. So that's why the Gemara repeats and says, "B'maikom miflegi." So what are they arguing about? "B'maikom miflegi." Rabbanon Tzavri, kol milso detzorach shlicha la'amluchei Allah. Anytime the shliach has to come back and ask about it, whether it's included or not, lav minahu. That's not the same thing, and it's not what I mean. If I have to ask, that means it's not the, that's not part of the same thing. Rabbi Akiva savar, and Rabbi Akiva says no. Kol milso demimla shlicha alei Allah. Just the opposite. Anything that the shliach is asking about, minahu, then it is included. Because that's why I'm asking. I don't ask about things that are irrelevant. I'm only asking about things that are relevant. Now, you might want it, you might not want it. I understand. But it's definitely something that's included in the fact that I'm asking about it is something that is categorically included in what you meant. And I just don't know whether you want it right now or not. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's considered part of Yerik. And that remains the machlokes. After all that is said and done, Amar Abaya comes along Abaya and says, Moide Rabbi Akiva le'inyan Malkus she'en eloikim. That even Rabbi Akiva, who does say that it is included in the Neder, which means, if I made the word Yerik, and again, according to the way the Gemara explains, I said Yerik HaMispasha B'Gedera, that's the case of our Mishnah. If I said the words Yerik HaMispasha B'Gedera, that now, and that's what's usher to me, I am not allowed to eat Diluim. I'm not allowed to eat gourds. Okay? However, if one were to eat it, Abaya is saying, even according to Rabbi Akiva, you wouldn't get Malkus. And the way the Ran explains is very interesting. The Ran says that even though my extra Lashon does come to include extra things, it is not 100% clear that that's what's included, and therefore it remains a suffix. Remains a suffix, and as a suffix, you don't know for sure that that's what he means, and therefore you're not going to give him Malkus. There are those that explain, by the way, that the issue over here is that in order to give Malkus, that means you need the Eidim to give Hasra. And we know that the rule is, although this is not necessarily the topic here in the Darim, but we know that the rule is that Hasra is suffix loishme Hasra, that whenever you give somebody a warning and the Eidim aren't really sure whether or not the thing that he's doing is Asr, then that is a chisarin, there's a lack in the warning, and it's not a valid warning for purposes of giving Malkus. So there are those that learn that over here it's a suffix, we don't even know whether it's included in the first place. But there are those that learn that it creates a technical issue in the hasra, and therefore the reason why you're not giving him Malkus is because maybe he meant it, maybe he didn't mean it. But the fact that I don't know whether he meant it, me as the witness, as the aid, giving Hasra, I don't know whether he meant it or not, that itself is enough to make it Hasra Suffolk, and therefore technically I'm not going to be able to give Malkus. Again, the Ran doesn't say all this, the Ran simply says that it's a Suffolk whether it's included, and according to Rabbi Akiva, even though he says, yes, I want it to be included, because it could mean that, that's not enough to be able to give Malkus. At the end of the day, you're not going to get Malkus for eating these side points, because it's not what's generally included in the Neder. The Pashup Shad in the Ran is, though, the fact that I'm asking about it, the fact that a shliach has to ask about it, that by definition, asking means you have a suffix, what he means or not. So it's enough of a suffix, even though in conclusion we would include it, and if you went to a Rav and asked, should I do this, should I not do this, the Rav would tell you it is included. It is, that's according to Rabbi Akiva, it is included. However, why is it included? It's only included because I have to ask. So again, the notion of the fact that I have to ask means that it's not clear that it's included. It's included because I have to ask. Well, it's close enough. But it's the fact that I have to ask is a right. So that by definition means that it's a suffix. I think that's more the Pashup Shat, the more the Pashup Shat in the Ran.
Thank you.
Okay. Fine. Very good. Now the Gemara continues. Along the same lines, but in a different vein. So it's an anhasa. So we learned in Masechtas Me'ilah, we actually learned this Gemara in Ksubas also already, but the Gemara, we learned a similar Gemara in Ksubas, but it's a Mishnah in Me'ilah. Hashliach she'osa shlichusoi balabayas mol. Now this is a general rule. This is a din in me'ilo. Me'ilo means, of course, that somebody took something from Hekdesh without permission, without being allowed to take it. So it's stealing. And when you steal from Hekdesh, it has a separate special din of me'ilo, karbonos, karim b'chomish, and so on and so forth. But the point, and it has its own rules. But the point is that even though we say by, and the Ran does point this out, so even though we say ein shliach l'dvar aveira, when it comes to the me'ila, there is, because we learn it out of truma, there's it's a hekesh, a gzeir shava, that we learn that it is going to, there is a concept of shlichus, and the point is like this. So, if a person himself steals from hekdesh, obviously he's the one who does me'ila. Now that we're saying that even a shliach can do it, so if the shliach does it on the balabayas, I'm gonna use the word balabayas, the Baal Bayis is behalf, so the Baal Bayis is still, since he's the Meshaleach, he's his agent, so he's still going to be over the Me'ilo. The Baal Bayis is going to be over Me'ilo. Now all of this is provided that the Shliach remains his agent. He's doing this really as, literally on his behalf. He remains a Shliach. So let's just read the words inside. HaShliach she'osa shlichus. So the Shliach did what he was supposed to do. Baal Bayis mol, the Baal Bayis is the one who sent him, is going to be mol. But, and here's the interesting part, lo yasa shlichusoi, shliach mol. The moment he no longer does what his actual shlichus is, he's not doing what he was supposed to do, he is not considered an agent anymore, now he's, excuse the expression, a free agent, he's doing it on his own, he's not doing it as a shliach anymore, so now he's totally responsible for his actions, because he's doing it on his own, and the shliach is going to be mol. That's the general rule. Okay, so we agree with this, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm a shliach, and it's his problem. However, now, let's tie this back into our Gemara. Man Tano, who is the Tano that says that concept? Omer Rav Chista, Masnisin Deloike Rabbi Akiva. So this Mishnah that we're about to say is not like Rabbi Akiva. We're gonna tie it back in. Rabbi Akiva, obviously, the Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah, is not gonna tie into this new Mishnah in Mesechtas Me'ilo. The Tanan we learned in the Mishnah. Ketzad, what would be an example of a shlich, either doing a shlichus or not doing a shlichus? Omru, Omar loy, tain basu la'orchim. So he says to his shliach, to his waiter, to his agent, and he says, give a piece of meat to each of my guests. The nosan lahem kaved. And he gives them a piece of liver. So obviously the question is going to be, is liver considered a piece of meat? Or tain kaved, or he specifically said, give them a piece of liver, v'nosan lehem basar. And he gave them what we would call a regular piece of meat. I mean, just by definition, the fact that we're referring to one as kaved and one as basar already kind of gives you the hint. So the Mishnah over there says, hashliach mol. The shliach is going to be mol. So that's the Mishnah, that is a given, that's a fact. That's what the Mishnah says. However, the point that the Gemara is trying to make is this is not like Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva, because if this Mishnah was following the logic of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva already told us that his logic is, kol milsa de mimlach shliach minahu. You said anytime the shliach would ask about it, that it would be considered, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Mimla, he would ask, that is considered included in what he was supposed to do. So if that's the case, limo balabayis, kaloi limo shliach, then in this case, we're making an assumption over here. The assumption is that when I say give a piece of meat, that liver is close enough that I would ask, okay, I ran out of all the steaks, I have liver, should I give the liver? Now obviously it's not your first choice. It's clearly meat and liver are definitely slightly different. But it is definitely meat. And it does the same thing that meat does. So you would ask, should I give the liver as well? Right? If I'm serving meat, should I serve the liver? You would ask. So the fact, and according to Rabbi Kiva, the fact that you would ask already makes it similar. Already makes it the same. And if it makes it the same, then it should be included in what the shliach is doing. And therefore, why is the halacha that when he switched from meat to liver, why is it all of a sudden that the shliach's on his own, he's not doing a shlichus anymore? According to Rabbi Kiva, it should be considered continuing to do a shlichus, because he's just asking, do you mean to include this as well? And according to Rabbi Kiva, the fact that I'm asking shows that it's similar enough, that it's in line with what I'm trying to do. So it should be considered. So this Mishnah that says there is mila is not like Rabbi Akiva. Excuse me, the fact that this Mishnah says that it breaks the agency is not like Rabbi Akiva that says if I would ask, then it means it's really a continuation. So that's the Gemara's kasha. We don't, it comes out not like Rabbi Akiva, which is not necessarily the conclusion we want. So Amar Abaya, so Abaya answers, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Akiva. We could still say that that Mishnah Mila is going according to Rabbi Akiva. Miloi Moide Rabbi Akiva de Tzarcham Luche. Doesn't Rabbi Akiva admit that you have to ask? So now what he's saying is like this. Rabbi Akiva, there's a difference between Mi'ila and Adar. That's basically the simple way of saying it. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, it's saying only included in my words because I would ask. So you're right, it is included, it could be included in my words. However, the fact that when we're talking about shlichus, see, the Mishnah Me'ila is discussing shlichus. And when it comes to shlichus, the moment I have to ask, that already tells me my shlichus ended, my agency ended, and now you want to know, do I want to extend the agency to something else? I could ask, and I could include it, and it could be extended further than what I was initially appointed to do. But I have to ask. The fact that I have to ask means I can't do what I was asked to do. I will do something similar or close enough if you want me to continue. But that is enough to make it no longer a continuation of the shlichos in the first place. It's true by nedarim, if I have to ask, that's just an indication that it's close enough. And it's close enough for purposes, as we started off today by saying that by nedarim you go achar lashon b'nei adam. It's close enough, so people do mean that. Two people do mean that. But the fact that you have to ask is a shlichus issue, is an agency issue. And therefore, it is for purposes of me'ilo, I am no longer doing what I was initially appointed to do, so I'm not going to continue. It's not the Mishnah in Me'ila and the Mishnah in Nedarim are talking about two different things. One is talking about what do I mean, and one is talking about what do I mean, what is considered weird, how far does my shlichus, my agency go? So the fact that I have to ask by what do I mean, that means, yeah, that's what I meant. When it comes to shlichus, shlichus is very specific and very precise. And as long as I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do, and I use the word exactly, then I'm considered a shliach. The moment I'm not doing exactly what I'm supposed to do, then I'm not a shliach. Unless, of course, my shlichus was created in a way that it says, okay, if you don't have this, you can improvise. If my shlichus allows for improvisation, so then an echnami is included. But otherwise, the general shlichus has to be exact. I mean, there are many examples of this, of course. Let me just give a famous example. If a guy tells somebody, I want to marry this girl who's in a specific city, right, so the Mishnah in Kedushin tells us that if he finds the girl in a different city and he says, it's not a shlichus, they're not married. Why? Because my shlichus was precise. I said, I want to marry her in that city. And at the moment, it's, even though, of course, in the big picture, I wanted to marry the girl, right? What difference does it make where she is? The bottom line is, it's not my shlichus. Shlichus has to be very precise. So it's a side issue over here. It has nothing to do with whether it's included in my words or not included in my words. So just to finish off this point in the Gemara now says, Itmar Shmaitza Kameh de Rava. So they taught this halacha in front of Rava. In other words, Abayas Chiddish, that he just said that it's not the same thing for shlichus. Amar Lahoin, Shaper Omar Nachmeni. So what Nachmeni said is, what he says is good. Meaning Rava agrees with Abaya. We don't always have that in Shas where Abaya and Rava, and specifically that Rava's agreeing with Abaya. Obviously they don't argue on everything, but the point is that the Gemara doesn't necessarily point out that Rava agrees with Abaya. Over here he says that he agrees with Abaya. So this happens to raise a very interesting point. There's a Ran. I just want to read the one line in the Ran because this is one of my favorite Rans. V'amar lahoin shaper amar Nachmeni. It's about the six lines down in the skinny lines of the Ran. It says, Hainu Abaya. Nachmeni that Rava is referring to is Abaya. The Korile Hachi. So why did he call him that? Lefishenes gadol bebeis Rabba bar Nachmeni. Because he grew up in the house of Rabba bar Nachmeni. Now, there's different ways to explain the Ran. I saw yesterday that one pirish that I saw was that this is so what was Abaya's name? Was Abaya's name, it seems to be a machlokes rishonim. What was Abaya's name? Was Abaya's name really Abaya and Rava was calling him Nachmeni? Or was his real name Nachmeni and we call him Abaya? Which one is it? So the Pashup Pshat, the way I saw it brought down yesterday, is that really his name was Abaya, But he called him Nachmeni because he grew up in Rabbi Bar Nachmeni's house. That's how I saw one person explain this Ran. However, I went to Shir by Rav Tzvi Krushelevsky Shlito, and he explained this Ran just the opposite. He said, really, Abaya's name was Nachmeni. He really was Nachmeni. It was, we all know, the Gemara tells us that Abaya's parents were nifter when he was a baby. His mother was nifter by childbirth. His father was nifter right after that. Really, his name was Nachmeni. And Rabbah brought him up and raised him. But the issue was that Rabbah's father's name was Nachmeni. So if Abaya's name was Nachmeni and his father's name was Nachmeni, he couldn't call him Nachmeni. He couldn't call him that because that was his father's name. So instead, he called him Avi. He used to refer to him as my father. Avi, he used to call him Avi. So now why, we pronounce it Abaya, for whatever reason, I'm not sure why, but really the correct pronunciation is Avi. He's really referring to Nachmeni, and that was, so really his name was, his real name was Nachmeni. But he wasn't referred to as Nachmeni because that was Rabbah's father, and Rabbah raised him, so Abaya used to call him Avi, which was then turned into Abaya. Back into the Gemara. The Gemara now continues. Man Tana de Poligalei de Rabbi Akiva. Who is the Tana? And it's very interesting that the Gemara asks this because it's important lahalacha. Who is the single Tana that argues on Rabbi Akiva? So you say, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, it happens to be Reb Shimon ben Gamliel argues on this opinion. The Tani we learned in a Braisa. Hanoider min ha-basar, asur b'chol mine basar. So if I said the word meat. And I'm including all types of meat. This is the Tanakama Shita. Ba'asa b'roish, b'regolim. It means includes the head of the animal, the feet of the animal, b'kona, the windpipe, b'kabe, the liver, b'lev, the heart, b'oifois, and even birds. Umulter, so that's all included. That's what I mean. Meat is very, it means a lot of parts of the animal. However, mutter b'basar dogim, v'chagavim. Meat does not include, even though it includes chicken actually is a question. But it includes birds, bird meat. It does not include fish, and it does not include grasshoppers. Again, we don't eat grasshoppers per se, but grasshoppers are kosher food, and it's that, but meat doesn't include grasshoppers. But here's our focus over here, because we're trying to figure out the shita that argues on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer, he says, no. Hanoidir min ha-basar, asur b'chol minei basar. I agree with you, it's all different types, all different cuts of meat. However, umutter b'roish v'rugam. It does not include the head and the feet, which don't have a lot of meat on them. Ubekana and the windpipe, ubekaved and the liver, that again is a different than the meat. Ubelev and the heart, ubeoifos and chicken. Of course I don't mean fish and grasshoppers. That's for sure not in meat. Okay, so right away, right over here, we see that this is not like Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, we already established that any time I would ask about it, and I would say, is this included? I would question whether it's included or not. I would include it. And here we see Rav Shimon Gamliel says very clearly that is no question that it is not included. Now, once we're on the topic of talking about the lave and the kaved and the innards, the chenoi Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, the Gemara continues and says, kirbayim lav basar. The innards of the animal are not considered meat at all. Vayichleim lav bar inish, and anybody who eats them is not a person. It's not a regular person. Obviously, this is a somewhat derogatory comment to anybody that would eat that. But the problem is that the Gemara says there's an unspoken question here. I mean, there's different ways to read the next line of the Gemara, whether the next line is the question, or there's an unspoken question, and the next line is already the answer. But the question is. The question is, what do you mean? We see that there are plenty of people who eat kishka. Now, when I say kishka, I don't mean the flour and spices that we eat nowadays. I'm talking about kishka, kishka means the kishkas of the animal. The real kishka means that they used to take the innards, they used to take the intestines of the animal, and they used to chop it down and grind it up and make it into a meat dish. That's what they used to use. So we see that there were plenty of people who ate who ate the kerbayim, who used to eat the innards of the animal. So why are you insulting us and saying that you're not a person? So the Gemara answers like this. Oichleyen. So again, you could read these words as part of the question. There are people who eat it, or you could read this as already the teretz. Oichleyen kibosar le'inyin zvini. Lav bar inish. What we're saying is, when we say those people who eat it, yeah, there are plenty of people who eat it. But people, we're talking about to buy it, to purchase it, that's not a regular thing to do. Meaning, if I can spend a dollar on a piece of meat, I can spend a set price on a piece of meat, and it doesn't matter which piece of meat I would take. It doesn't make sense that I would buy the innards, because the innards is such a lower level. You know, I guess our mashal today now would be with hot dogs. Why would I spend the same thing on a filet mignon as I would spend on a hot dog? Spending the same price, you would get that. There are different cuts of meat. There are much better cuts of meat. So that's what I was saying. Lav bar inish, meaning is not doing what a regular person would do. A regular person would understand that there's different qualities of meat. There's better meat and worse meat. But at the same time, of course, if you're eating it or because it's cheaper or because it's something different, that's not what Reb Shimon Gamliel meant to say. Okay, anyway, that's an interesting topic. But the point that we see from this Gemara is that Reb Shimon Gamliel says that when a person makes a neder on meat, he does not mean to include all the peripheral types of meat, the other things then other than your classic cuts of meat. Meat, you know, we understand what meat means. And it doesn't mean the extra things, so therefore Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the one who argues on Rabbi Akiva. But now the Gemara asks, Maishna Basar Oif. Interestingly, because we had included over here Machlekes, whether we include bird meat or not. How come we don't include bird meat? The Tanakhama, the Osir. Well, actually, according to the Tanakhama, it's Osir. Why do we, according to the Tanakhama, we do include it. The Avid Shlicha Demim Lachale. Because, and the reason would be, like Rabbi Akiva, because I would say, if I wanted meat and there was no meat in the store left, I would go and I would buy chicken. I would buy some bird meat. It's close enough. Because that's the next thing in line, and that's what I would ask about. But if that's your logic, Basar Dogim Nami Avid Shlicha De Eloi Mishkachas Bisra, when it comes to fish also, if I would not find any meat in the store, Mim Lachale, I would come back to Omar and he would say, Eloi Mishachna Bisra, I see Dogim. Vilitzaru. No, sorry, that's the Teretz. So the point is, the issue here is that I would say, if I didn't find any real meat, I would ask, okay, should I buy the fish? So if the reason why you're including bird meat, or for lack of a better term, I'll just use chicken. If the reason why you're including chicken is because I would at least ask, is this close enough to meat? If it's not an option, then of course I would also ask about fish if there was no meat. So it should be included just the same. So the Gemara answers the Omar. The case over here is Eloi Meshachna Bisra, I see Dogim. Sorry, the Omar, he says Eloi Meshachna Bisra, I see Dogim Velitzru. Oh, so that's actually part of the question, because if I don't find any meat, I would say it should include fish. And therefore, it should be just as usher, it should be just as peripheral, but included, because it's part of the conversation, it should be just as usher. So Amar Abayis first teretz is like this. Kigoin shehikiz dam. The case over here that we're discussing what's included and what is not included is not a general, it's not in general, it's in a specific case where the person did some bloodletting. He did some bloodletting, and the halacha is that after a person did bloodletting, and the Mefarshim actually point out in those times of the Gemara, when they used to do bloodletting, they used to take out a lot of blood, not just a little bit here and there. They used to do a lot at a time. So you need to really rebuild yourself. You're in a very unhealthy situation. You have to build up your body again. So therefore, deloy ochel dogim. And therefore, over here, fish is not healthy to eat when a person is very weak after they let blood. The Gemara says, "Yachi afilu oifas nami." But again, if that's your logic, then the truth of the matter is you shouldn't be eating chicken either. Afilu oifas nami lo yachol. You wouldn't eat chicken either. Why? D'amar Shmuel. Now Shmuel, as we know from other places in Shas, that Shmuel himself was a doctor, and Shmuel said, "D'mesukra." Now mesukra is a specific type of bloodletting that you take blood from the shoulder. For whatever reason that, and again, it's a place where you would take a lot of blood. So Shmuel says the following statement: the mesukra, somebody who does bloodletting from the shoulder, va'ochel bisra d'tzifra, and he eats chicken and he eats bird meat, parach libi k'tzifra, his heart will flutter like a bird. So whether exactly how to translate this exactly, I mean that's the translation, but whether it means whether he'll skip a beat or whether he'll have a heart attack or something like that, depending on how far you want to go. But the point is, it's not exactly the healthiest thing. The point that Shmuel is trying to make is that you should not be eating bird meat after you take out a lot of blood. The Tanya, and we even learn, in Makizin, a person should not go to the doctor to do bloodletting, loyal dogim, if he knows that the only thing he's going to be able to eat afterwards is the following foods. You shouldn't go to be blood loyal dogim, not to rely on fish, loyal oifas, and not on birds. V'loy al basar maliach, and also not on salted meat. So even salted meat is not really the type of meat that you should be eating. You should be eating healthy, regular meat. Regular steak. That's what you should be relying on. The Tanya, just to finish off the thought, we learned, hekes dam, lo yoichol. Also, once we're talking about the fact that what you shouldn't do after a person does bloodletting, lo yoichol lecholov, they shouldn't eat milk, v'loy gvina, not cheese, v'loy besim, and not eggs. V'loy shechlayim, and not, shechlayim is a type of grass. V'loy oifois, but it also does include birds. V'loy basar maliach, and not salt. Anyway, so all of these things make it very clear, if you want to say that the case over here is the reason why we weren't discussing fish is because the guy did some bloodletting, and after he does bloodletting, nobody would eat fish, right? If that's the case, the same is true about birds as well. Person wouldn't eat birds either. He wouldn't eat bird meat either. So they're both in the same category. So why is there a difference in the halacha? So the Gemara answers, Shani oifois te'efsha al yedei shliko. So the Gemara says, no, bird meat, you're right, and Shmuel is correct that we don't rely on bird meat. However, bird meat is not necessarily a problem if you cook it properly, or shliko over here means you overcook it. If you overcook it, so then anachanami, this bird meat is edible after a person, it is somewhat edible after a person does hakazo. So, at the end of the day, according to this teretz of the Gemara, we are talking about a case where a person went and he did hakazo. And now he's making a neder and he says, I don't want to eat meat. That's his neder. So the point of the chiddush of the Gemara over here is that even though meat could include all these various different things, there are certain things that he absolutely would not eat under any circumstance whatsoever. So he would never eat fish. It's just not something that he would eat. So it's not even on his mind. So it's not even something. So again, if you're talking about a neder, when we talk about neders, what did I mean? What did I not mean? I would not be discussing fish at all. It's not even something I would talk about. So therefore, when I say basar, I'm not talking about fish. Now, what about birds meat? Bird meat, I would include if I needed to. If I cooked it properly, it would include it. So therefore, when I say basar, I do mean to include, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, I do mean to include bird meat because it is something that I would do. But again, according to this, the point is that we're talking about in a case where at least not generally, meat means meat, but we're talking about a case over here where he did hakazos adam, and the question is therefore fish are not included, but birds could be included. That's the first teretz. Abaye Omar, and Abaye gives now a second teretz, okay? There are those, that some changed the gears over here from Abaye to Rava over here, which is more classic, because it makes sense that it would be, we would change Shita, because Abaye gave the first teretz. But here, so maybe it makes more sense to say Rava. Rava, Omar Kagoin, the Kaivim Le Einei. The case over here is a similar but different type of issue, where the person has some sort of pain, some sort of disease in their eyes. The issue is the Dogim Kashin Le Einei, because fish are bad for your eyesight. Contrary to what we say nowadays, the Gemara says, fish are bad for your eyes if the eyes are diseased. So the Gemara says, Ihachi achel dogim, so he should eat fish, actually. If we're talking about that his eyes are hurting him, the Gemara says just the opposite. Your teretz says that his eyes are hurting him and therefore he wouldn't eat fish. But he would eat chicken. But why would he eat fish? Yachi yachal dagim. He should. And you're saying he would never eat fish. What do you mean? He should eat fish. The Amar Shmuel. Once again, we have Shmuel as a doctor. Nun samachayim, which are just letters in the Aleph Beis, but they're letters that remind us. Nuna means little fish. Sama leinayim is a medicine for your eyes. So we see Shmuel says just the opposite. The fish are included in your eye. Is a good medicine for your eyes. So we see that a person, when he talks about meat, would be talking about fish. He should be talking about fish as well, because it's something that he would take as a medicine for his eyes. The Gemara answers, "Ahu soif uchla." If that's talking about where he's at the end, he's already healing and he's getting better. So once you're already on getting better, then fish actually will help you heal all the way. Fish will, in other words, if you're in this diseased state. In a diseased state, fish will compound the issue, will make it worse, will complicate the issue. But if you're getting better, then fish will help you. So it's a very, very specific time. So it's a very specific case over here. The case over here is that your eyes are hurting, and you're right now you're at the stage where the eyes are hurting, and you say, I'm only eating meat, or I'm not eating meat. So you wouldn't even talk about fish, because fish are bad for you. As opposed to if you're healing, anachanami, then you, fish would be something that you would eat. Now, based on this, the Ran now says, so that's the end of the Gemara, that takes us to the end of the Amud. The Ran, you know, points out and says, so what am I including, what am I not including? It really depends when I make the neder. So there's two different cases over here. One was the case where he did hakozo, and one was the case where his eyes were hurting him. In the case of hakozo, really the only time that you're not supposed to eat the fish and the bird meat and all that stuff is only talking about the day after you had the hakozo. Really, it's only a problem for one day. So the neder that we're talking about, if the teretz of the Gemara was that we're talking about hakozo, then it has to be that you made the neder, I'm not eating meat today. And then you say, when I say meat, I don't mean fish, because fish is not even in the category. Fish is not even a conversation. So, but if I would say, if a person did hakozo and says, I'm not going to eat meat for another month, well, in 3 days later, you could eat fish. So then, anachanami, fish would be included. Okay, even according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. That's the chiddush. This is even according to Rabbi Akiva, that it would be including fish, because 3 days later I don't have a problem with it. It's only on that day itself. As opposed to, this is the chiddush of the Ran, as opposed to when a person's eyes are hurting him, and he makes this neder, he says, I'm not eating meat. So there, you don't know how long, the person doesn't know how long his eyes are going to hurt him. They might still be hurting him in a month from now. It's true that eventually when he's starting getting better and he's on the mend, then he could eat fish. But he doesn't know when that's going to happen. So if he makes a neder that he's not going to eat meat, even for a month, he doesn't even want to talk about fish. Doesn't even want to talk about fish because he doesn't know how, he may not eat fish for another month. He may not even talk, so that's not included in the neder. Anyway, that's the distinction that the Ran makes. And then, in conclusion, I just want to point out that the Ran does say that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, because the rule is that the Gemara in Erevin tells us that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva mechavei roi, that when Rabbi Akiva is in a machloikis with one other Tana, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So after everything is said and done in this Mishnah, and you want to know, when a person makes a neder, let's say for Yerek, does he include Diluin? The answer is yes. When he says Basar, does he include Kave? The answer is yes. Why? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the fact that someone would ask and say, do you also mean this? That means yes, it's close enough. Then that's something that he would theoretically have in mind with his neder. The Rambam, on the other hand, doesn't necessarily paskin like this, and the Mefarshim go through where the Rambam comes from. But the bottom line is, according to the Ran, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So anything that you would talk about is included in your neder. Okay, we'll stop over here.